Section 6.
Yep.
Yes. Yes.
The only thing that is left from the action of the subcommittee is .08, the amendments that were just adopted. That's it.
Mr. Chairman?
That's the bill. Representative Lombard?
I think it's a technical matter, Mr. Chairman. The amendments that we adopted submitted by the governor's task force did not address themselves to Section 2 in the bill, which we previously had left in the bill. I think it would be appropriate to delete Section 2 of the printed bill now, since Section 1 of the new amendments is really, that was what we intended to use to replace the approach of Section 2 of the bill.
Yeah. The amendments adopted are in lieu of Section 2 of the bill.
Mr. Chairman?
I need to clarify here. This is all that's left in the bill, right? The .08 amendments and this.
Yes. Right.
Everything else will just...
That's another way of saying the same thing. This was specifically intended to replace 2.
Okay. Mr. Chairman?
Jerry?
I was going to recommend if you look at aggravated murder, then under the present law under 42.430, the authority to revoke, you have the same situation in line 16 of the first page. But aggravated murder, if I remember correctly, a person convicted of that offense has got to serve a minimum mandatory sentence of at least 15 years or 20 years in the penitentiary, or 30 years in the penitentiary. I don't know unless they get work release or they escape.
That's
escape. Yes, but in any event, I feel comfortable with any degree of murder. I
think while on escape. Further discussion of the bill as amended?
Better to be a passenger.
Chair moves the bill as amended be reported with a due pass recommendation. Is there further discussion? Call the roll, please.
Burton?
Yes.
Hill?
Aye.
Lombard?
Aye.
Miller?
Aye.
Rivera?
No.
Smith?
Aye.
Greger?
No.
Rutherford?
Aye.
Myers?
Aye.
For 2974.
Mr. Chair, again, vote explanation. It's the only part I object to is the .08.
Oh, no, I'm sorry, we already have
to get the soil. I've been
mad. Sure, I'm great. I just love you to death. Sure.
We'll be sure to point that out. Okay.
So, Mr. Chair and committee members, which one are we on, 2974?
Mm-hmm. Are we acting on all of these or some of these for other actions?
All.
These are all for work.
This bill was...
No, it was on the table.
Due pass is amended from Subcommittee 1 to the full committee with one amendment that I will... it's not noted, but I will suggest to you the language to accomplish what the committee had adopted conceptually. This is a bill from the governor's task force relating to diversion. It exempts proceedings relating to DUII diversion agreements from provisions of the evidence code. It requires that a petition for an agreement include a waiver of federal and state constitutional former jeopardy rights. And the petition for agreement has to also include a sworn statement of the defendant that the defendant's in fact eligible to enter into a diversion agreement. It specifies the circumstances for ineligibility for diversion, which would include if a person is currently participating in a diversion agreement or if there are pending charges of DUII against the person. It provides that a diversion agreement will be for 1 year and requires the court to terminate the agreement if there's a finding by a preponderance of the evidence that the defendant did not fulfill the terms of the agreement or in fact had not qualified to have entered into an agreement. The petition also is to include the diversion period and the date of violation that the person was involved in. The amendment to the bill is on page 3, and this relates to the exclusion from eligibility of entering into a diversion agreement. In subsection D, it's lines 26 to 28. As it read in the bill, it was if there was an accident, DUII, an accident where there was a DUII offense involved that resulted in physical injury, death, or any damage to the property of any person, including the defendant. The committee wanted to limit the circumstances to where there was physical injury or death to any person or damage to the property of a person other than the defendant. So the way that I would propose that you could reword it would be on line 27 after 161015 to delete the comma, insert or after death, insert to any person. Line 28.
Of any person? You say of any?
I was going to say to any person. Or it could be of any death of any person. I guess that's my
death of any person.
Okay. Injury.
Death of rather than death to, I think.
Be physical injury of also. And then on line 28, to delete any and insert A, and to delete comma including and insert other than, so that it would read the present driver under the influence of intoxicants offense involved in accident resulting in physical injury as defined in ORS 161015 or death of any person or any damage to the property of a person other than the defendant. I think, if I understood the committee correctly, that would accomplish the subcommittee's intent.
I believe that's correct. Now, the question we had was whether we could...
There's some additional amendments Jerry Cooper would like to...
Housekeeping.
Okay, let me take those in a minute. The question we had posed to the division was whether we could get any kind of rough estimate of what number of potentially divertible drivers would be impacted by the restriction of the property portion to damage only to the defendant's property instead of otherwise. Is there any way to estimate that?
Carol Brown.
Yeah. Carol, can you come up? Did you have...
No, Carol Brownlow, Ms. Chairs, I remember Carol Brownlow was going to check and see if she could get any kind of numbers from some programs doing...
Yeah, I have some sort of... It's a very, very difficult kind of an estimation because those statistics are not gathered specifically by anyone, but we did check with Multnomah, Marion, and Lane counties to get you some kinds of numbers.
Pulled
the wrong stuff
up. But, Amy, did you want to say something? Did you have this
Mr.
information?
Chairman, the only comment I was going to make is that after your hearing the other night, I did look, and there's no way really from our statistics, we can tell you how many one-vehicle accidents we have, but to relate that back to the DUII or the possible diversion, we can't do it. So.
Carol Brownlow, Mental Health Division. There were two sources of information that we went to. The first was a report that had been given to the Governor's Task Force indicating that for the month of December, Portland Police Bureau reported that 32% of the DUII offenses included an accident. Whether that can be extrapolated to the first offense is something that's difficult to ascertain. I did check with them to see if that percentage had continued over time. And for a four-month period, the average is still about 32% of the arrests in City of Portland by City of Portland Police do include an accident. So how many of those include personal injury is difficult to ascertain.
Okay.
The other thing that we did do was check, as I said, with each of the counties where the evaluators take a look at the police reports and that kind of thing. In Lane County, where the court does observe the $400 property damage limitation, the police reports indicated 8% of the cases mentioned a minor personal injury. In Multnomah County, where the court was observing the $400 property limitation but declared it unconstitutional, 3% of the petitions to which the DA had objected included personal injury. And in Marion County, where the court is observing the $400 property damage limitation for eligibility, 8% of those admitted had minor property damage, and 3% of the clients reported minor personal injury. It would be helpful to give you a copy of that.
Why don't you for our record?
Mr. Chairman, J. Ruppe and Lauren Beckles, the only issue that I wanted to surface here is what Carol just issued, that the denial of diversion based upon the individual being involved in a property accident is an issue that's been very difficult for the courts to establish, and therefore diversion generally has been allowed even though an accident has been involved in the offense.
Chairman, Jerry Cooper, there's been a great deal of concern with the reportable accident exemption or exclusion from diversion. I know that the District Attorneys Association has taken the position that the Governor's Task Force proposal is the only way to go. I know Mr. McDonald's here, if you'd like to hear from him on their position. Multnomah County had a ruling by Judge Bearden that the $400 limit is unconstitutional. It's too arbitrary. I understand there was a writ of mandamus filed in the Circuit Court of Multnomah County, and Judge Olson has reversed Judge Bearden's findings and determination, and Judge Sinisaros is now the presiding judge handling diversion matters, and he has indicated that they're now attempting to abide by the $400 limit. The problem is it's the application. You get estimates from both sides, and nobody knows exactly what the damage actually was. And also, I'm hearing from district attorneys, because the state has no right of pretrial appeal from an adverse finding of this nature, the judges always give the defendant more than the benefit of the doubt. But many judges really believe that diversion is the only way to go, whether it's for the rehabilitation and the immediate alcohol recognition features, or it clears their dockets. They have tended to really give quite a bit of leeway in that $400 reportable accident area, and district attorneys have gotten to the point in many of, particularly the major counties, where they don't even contest unless it's so extreme a situation. So I do recommend that you do something with that amount. But something that came to my mind just recently is that the crime of criminal mischief requires damage recklessly created. If it's $100 or more, it becomes a crime. It's a suspendable crime of criminal mischief too, and it's also a habitual offender major conviction offense. If you want to look at monetary amounts, it would seem like the $100 would be a lot easier for the courts to deal with, as well as if it's anything under $100, it would be non-criminal from the standpoint of a damage to property, but if it's over $100, it would be criminal. That's just something that came to my mind. I want the committee to know of all the different possibilities, and really Justice Denneke and I are of the opinion that the committee just has to make the public policy decision as to what's appropriate. But the $400 reportable accident is not practical. The other thing is, the reason why I'm using the criminal definition of physical injury is that there would have to be substantial pain or actual physical impairment. Under the reportable accident statute, there is case law, Goble versus Motor Vehicles Division from 1981 or 82, where the Court of Appeals said physical injury under that statute means any pain, any injury, a bump on the head with no bruising or anything else, just the fact the person hits the dashboard and has a little bit of pain constitutes a reportable injury. And when I was drafting the task force bill, I was concerned about that, and I believe that the district attorneys and the judges have no objections to going. So we're actually liberalizing a little bit in that particular instance. But the property damage seems to be the real problem.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Lombard.
I think in further reflection on this, what bothered me on the property damage thing, albeit property damage caused to another, can and probably most often to public property, is that if the individual scrapes along a guardrail or something, scrapes the paint, maybe even causes minor denting, that's property damage. It seems to me that there is a, if they go up over a curb and cause some damage to a very small area of grass, or even knock a chip out of the curb, or run into a power pole and or scrape a power pole and knock a chip out of it, that's damage to personal property. I kind of have the feeling that there is at least a de minimis property damage situation here, that perhaps as a matter of public policy we ought not to disallow diversion.
Would the $100 notion address most of those cases, I wonder?
Well, I think they might. Well, I wonder if Judge Bonebrake would respond to something like this.
I'm Al Bonebrake, Circuit Court Judge. I'm trying to remember what our discussions were 2 years ago when we were discussing the same topic. And it seems to me, Jerry and I talked about the $100 provision, that we might as well say that any property damage, because frankly, $100 property damage is not much property damage under today's standards. So, frankly, that's my thought on that. The $400 provision, when we were debating this 2 years ago, was felt to be a standard, well, first of all, we're talking about property damage, $400. When damage occurred beyond $400, it was damage as a result of someone who had demonstrated that they were dangerous drivers. It was a standard that was already established by law for the filing of accident reports. The state had made that decision that those accidents were ones that were serious and reports need be filed, and it was a handy gauge to use. And that's really, frankly, the reason that we came down on that. It was an amount that was not a minor amount. It would require some fair amount of damage, and so would not exclude great numbers of people. Now, I know that you're looking for some statistics and numbers. I don't have any. I can tell you what Judge Abraham said, though, because he was a part of the committee that assist in drafting this, and that is in Multnomah County, there are, as you know from what you do have, you've heard here, substantial numbers of driving under the influence cases that do involve damage to vehicles, fender benders, hitting an open door, parking meters, whatever. I think that what I heard here was there's something like 32% do involve some property damage. His feeling at the time, 2 years ago when we were debating this, was that excluding from diversion, anyone who had been involved in an accident involving any damage would exclude a great number of the people from the program in the city of Portland. And that was his concern. In other areas, it's not necessarily so, but in the metropolitan areas, there are a lot of fender bender DUILs. A $100 limit would exclude a lot of those people, too.
Well, would we be, if we accord some real policy significance, negative significance to the fact we would be excluding perhaps some significant numbers of people in some areas by the amendment as now pending or proposed, would we be better off to stay with the $400 than to make a change there and continue to hassle with the line of demarcation?
Well, even at $100, in all fairness, even with $100, the DAs, instead of arguing about whether it's $400 damage, now they're going to be arguing about $100 damage. So I don't see much benefit to them in that regard. What it will be is the appearance of cracking down on drunk drivers again. anyone would, and it will have that effect. But as a matter of fact, they're still going to have that argument.
Mark McDonald from the Marion County District Attorney's Office. Our feeling is that we like the original version of the bill, but I understand that there needs to be some compromise. We would like to see any damage to a person other than Bennett. The reason being that then we could go proceed with the case and obtain restitution. Now, if a person goes on diversion, I think between zero and $400, we really can't obtain restitution for the victim. I think that's an important consideration that we have.
Further discussion? Linda?
Can I seek one bit of clarification on that? When it says damage to the property of any person or a person, I'd ask this because of what Representative Lombard mentioned about it being public property. When it says, even in the existing language, any damage to the property of any person, would that include public property damage?
Mr. Chairman, Jerry Cooper, yes, that was
all right.
Any property of anyone or any body other than the defendant. I would point out one problem with the defendant's own property, and that is, if it is damaged and the police today believe it might be over $400, they're hard-pressed to let that vehicle go. They basically have, if they're doing a competent job, have to seize the vehicle, impound it, so the defendant can't go and have some body maintenance done and then get estimates where the damages would be less than $400. So there is that problem of the defendant's own property. If the police believe it's a case to pursue for non-diversion, they basically have to, if it's going to be close at all, they've got to take that vehicle into their custody.
It solves that.
Yes, right. If you go the way of the defendant's own property, that would solve that.
Is there relevant?
Well, I think the point of the diversion program was to get people into that program, provided they met certain criteria, so that we could attempt to get drunk drivers from repeating. We went through this whole thing last session for the people going through the revolving door. I still think that that's good policy to get people into the diversion program. If your problem is that you can't get restitution, then let's address restitution as a separate question, but let's not say that any kind of property damage whatsoever is going to disqualify what in Multnomah County is apparently almost a third of the people in the diversion program, because we're going absolutely counter to the direction that we decided to go last year. Having seen that the prior efforts had failed, we are now unwinding the clock and saying we're going to go right down the path that we rejected after trying it for 6 years. That just doesn't make any sense to me.
Representative Rutherford, Jerry Cooper, the task force position was we had to get away from the $400 reportable accident. We took the position, let's go to the extreme, and then this committee and the legislature would make the policy decision. So it was really just to get off the present, and as to how you want to go from there.
I would prefer, Mr. Chair, that we keep the $400 that we, that if the court wishes the opportunity to award restitution, that we give them that authority.
May I speak just one moment? The whole purpose of the task force was to give some certainty and make the lines, the eligibility for diversion clear, because we were getting all this testimony from all over the state. Judges were interpreting differently. And if the committee would keep in mind, one problem is that the judges love diversion. It gets rid of their cases, and so they're, when you have indistinct lines, they're fudging. And that's, so many people have said, well, here was an accident with an 82 Mazda, and the judge held it wasn't, totaled out, held it wasn't $400 in damage. So our principal purpose is to make the line certain. Where the committee desires to draw them, we really aren't that much concerned as long as they are certain.
I think, Judge, the only certain line would be no injury whatsoever. Because wherever you draw the lines, $100, $250, $400, or $500, you're always going to have that fudge factor. So all you can do is say nothing. But if you do that, then you've abrogated the policy that we embarked upon last year, it seems to me.
Well, in the field of property damage, Representative Lombard's suggestion, I think it was the last meeting, that seems to me as certain in the field of property damage.
In other words, well, it is, if the figures are, you know, are representative from Multnomah County, that there are perhaps 30% of these situations in which there's been some property damage. It doesn't break down, I don't believe Carol says it broke down between property damage to one's own vehicle or property damage to both one's own vehicle and other property. Certainly the amendments we have before us now would exclude or the damages to one's own property, and I think that's an appropriate policy that we ought to continue, even if we go back to $400. So at least those people who've only damaged their own property would still be able to get into diversion. But it's hard to imagine anybody damaging their own vehicle and not doing some damage to at least public property at the same time, no matter how minimal. I guess that's where it bothers me if we're looking at 30%, that if we have the potential of throwing that many people out of the diversion program, then from our standpoint, from a policy standpoint, that's too much. I appreciate very much the fudge factor and the difficulty the judges have. I think any of us would have that difficulty. Or any other way that we can tie that figure down or provide for less fudging? Okay, any suggestions? Help me back up.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Representative Lombard, that 30%, I understood that to mean both damage to the defendant's and the victim's vehicle.
Well, I would say the figures don't tell us whether or not it's to one or the other or both. In other words, I can imagine that in the case of rolling a car in an open ditch, your only damage is probably going to be to the drunk's vehicle. But I would suspect that more often than not, where the drunk's vehicle is damaged, but there will probably be concomitant damage to some other property, albeit public property. Jerry?
Jerry Cooper, Representative Lombard, would come to my attention. I was just talking to Benita Howard Motor Vehicles Division. What if you just put a limitation if you cause physical injury to any other person or death, and if there's property damage, the district attorneys have the authority, if it's truly a recklessly causing damage to somebody else's property, to pursue it as a criminal mischief. And they can get the restitution. That was the point I was making. Once it's over $100 recklessly done, they can go after it under reckless criminal mischief on a reckless basis. So that's why I went back to the $100 concept. But maybe you ought to just say, just because you damage property, you can still get diversion. And just limit it to injury and death.
Could you still go through diversion? Or would the DA still allow diversion? The drunk driving charge and still prosecute on the criminal mischief?
Well, he could prosecute as a criminal mischief, and then that would deprive him of, and then dismiss the DUII if one was charged, and that would deprive him. That's true. But they could do that even with the $400 limit. Once it's over $100, that's what, you know, is interesting to me, is district attorneys do not pursue that criminal mischief theory. Once it's over 100, they can go that way and forget this DUII and diversion. And they haven't done it, but the day may be coming when they're going to be doing that because of victim's rights on that restitution, unless there is some other provision made for restitution. And that may be difficult for enforcement purposes under the diversion concept.
Well, it seems to me that the fudging problem is going to be pretty hard to address so long as we are staying with any kind of limit. And at the same time, however, a total exclusion on the basis of property damage. I agree with Walmart. I think Representative Rutherford's been the same point. I think the impact in terms of
ineligibility is too large. And given what I think we all sense is have been the benefits of the program so far. So I'm going to move that the bill be amended to delete any reference to property damage as a disqualification for diversion. No,
hearing. You're the way Jerry just recommended or suggested.
Yeah. Jerry Cooper again, Mr. Chairman. What about injury to the defendant only? If the defendant hits the curb and bumps his head, or hits the pole and bumps his head, so is it going to be any injury or death to any other person? I mean, that, or is it going to be to any person, including the defendant? I think that has to be considered as well under the.
Well, I don't know. I guess as a knee reaction, I for one would be content to permit diversion where there was injury only to the defendant.
I would.
And I'll modify my motion to include that. So the only disqualification would arise in physical, in the case of physical injury, as defined in ORS, or death,